Internet Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 30th on the West Coast, now May the 31st on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network and hope you find tonight's show interesting and informative. Before we bring tonight's guest on, and that is Dr. Atru Ant. I will be sort of reminiscing a little bit musically with Steely Dan from their album Two Against Nature, a song called Cousin Dupree. This is the government in thought and in action.
Like a rose, but we
Donald Fagen, Walter Becker and company, Steely Dan, and Cousin Dupree. Reminds you of that dirty little uncle that you have creeping around the house, doesn't it? Sort of like many of the top elite in the federal government and all the international crime that's going on. Well, what a segue this is going to be. Tonight's guest is a researcher, a journalist, an author. He's also a naturopath, a PhD, and he hosts his own talk show on the Micro Effect called The Story Behind the Story. My regular Monday night guest, Dr. A. Truat. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Greetings again, Don. Happy, or I should say prosperous Memorial Day to our listeners and to you. It's been an interesting day, to say the least. I broadcast today. My guest today on the show is it's a wonderful story. Actually, he's a gentleman who had some background in the cultivation of coffee beans in Kona, and really a quick story in a nutshell. He had a chance to visit Thailand and found these wild-crafted coffee trees or coffee cocoa plantations there that were just kind of overrun. And so he basically began to harvest them to keep them the way they were, wild-crafted. And anyway, quite a story. He's uncovered the human trafficking, the sex slave trafficking of the Thai people, the Cambodian people. It's just quite a massive story tying into this international cartel, as we've talked about so much on the show.
Mm-hmm.
This DynCorp situation. He actually has his home in Salt Lake City, as he's told me, and we discussed on the show. There's reasons for that. The trafficking groups seem to be headquartered in this neck of the woods here for some reason. It's an amazing story behind the story, indeed. And as we talked about what happened in Cambodia and the remembering and being a Memorial Day, memorializing some of the tragic events, 3+ million Cambodian citizens massacred in what is now known as the killing fields of Cambodia by Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge. We basically look at the mindset of these deranged people such as Pol Pot, who really want to see eradication of people on a grand scale, genocide. And so, yeah, we have to never forget. I submit today, on Memorial Day, these killing fields, the mentality, the insanity of these powers that be that really seriously want to decrease the populations by billions of souls.
Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't hear much about Cambodia or Laos during the Vietnam War. In fact, most of the soldiers that went there, Army, Marines, Air Force, were instructed not to even tell anyone, or if they were asked, they should deny having been there. Pol Pot's idea seems to have been inspired from outside the country. Did your guest have any information along those lines as to the massacre? Well, it seems for a moment here, folks, that we've lost Dr. Ott, so I'm going to try to bring him back on here. This happens all the time when we're talking about important things. My goodness. We'll see if he's even online. Give us a moment. It was a little bit of a fuzzy connection anyway, so well, it doesn't look like that's working right now. OK, give him another couple. No, he's offline now. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Well, we'll try this one more time here. And I may just take a music break and give us an opportunity to reconnect rather than stall here, because I wanted to give Dr. Ott a chance to go into this information in depth. Okay, here we go. I'm going to play something to, this is called filler music. Go ahead.
As I was saying, we just need to realize that the people that funded the Khmer Rouge guerrillas, the young troops that came in, the Pol Pot regime, was indeed the People's Liberation Army, PLA, of Red China. And looking beyond that, we see the funders of Mao and the Chinese communists are influential Jewish people from New York. I mean, it's just part of the Rothschild cartel. Communism equals the international Jew. There's no doubt about that in all of my research now. They're one and the same. They have the same goal. And they're still searching for the combination to take the whole world over. It's not something that we just can't ignore, Don, in the light of what's really going on behind the scenes. And last week when we talked about this zombie declaration by the CDC, it's hard not to laugh about it because it seems so unreal. But since we had the show last Monday, oh my goodness, I put out some feelers to researchers. Dr. Patricia Jordan has written a book, The Virus 666. I sent her all of this information on the CDC and the zombie virus, and she has sent me back pages, literally hundreds of pages of research documents that just flat out has stunned me, Don. She said, I'm taking this very seriously, so should everybody, based on what she knows on the so-called Chimera, the viruses that are bred or put together by in the laboratory, their mutations done specifically. She showed me the specific testing done, the manufacturing of a killer virus they're calling zombie virus, zombie 1 through 4. And they're actually calling it a worldwide apocalyptic plague if ever released. This is serious business.
Mm-hmm.
They have, what they've done is they've actually taken components of HIV, which is, as you know, human immunosuppressant virus, which in of itself is a manufactured virus, okay, that I've done in the 60s. They've also blended the HIV with a variant of the human influenza virus that makes it very easily transmissible. And then you have, of course, the fleshing of that in with the virus of the brain called rabies. Mm-hmm. So when you see these things put together and the testing done and the where she gets a hold of this through her professional connections, I don't even dare ask, but she is amazing with the verification that this virus is just waiting in the wings to be released as an apocalyptic world time endgame. Unbelievable documentation, Don.
Now, we know they're using certain types of technology to affect people through electromagnetic radiation, and they do this through the television screen. And that would include high-definition monitors, which is why there was such an emergency to pass these laws to basically get rid of analog, because you can't broadcast these frequencies in the multidimensional way they would like to unless you do it digitally. You see, you can mask the sounds, you can hide images, and I think it's even a lot more sinister than that. So,
well, yeah. See, then this is the other part of her research, and again, her book documents this pretty convincingly. And I apologize for some barking dogs in the background. I've got, I don't know what's going on. Maybe. Anyway, the.
Well, I can't hear them, so I'm not scared.
Okay, good for you. Maybe they got rabies. I don't know. But the very real possibility is that these viruses are what's called sleepers. And people that have been vaccinated, she says you can trace this through different seasonal influenza, even last year, the year before, the pandemic flu infections and vaccinations, both nasal and into the bloodstream. And Dr. Bill Deagle and I have talked about this quite a bit, and it's there are factions of this combination virus that are what Deagle refers to as a sleeping virus or sleeper virus, and it could very well be tied into this this adjuvant structure that also has this rabies structure, and it's a sleeper. What happens is it just goes and burrows into the cell, your tissues, and it's there to be activated by radio frequencies. So, you know, this could be turned on and off as they need to have it done in a certain percentage of the population. And I know that sounds very, very far-fetched. It sounds wild, again, because we're programmed to believe a certain way. We don't really step outside the box, so to speak, and look at things innocently and objectively. I have here in my hand, Don, an 18-page report that was referenced in this National Geographic article on the truth about zombies, so-called. Now, this is from a book put together by, is paid for by a group of Austrian industrialists. Isn't that just interesting?
Mm-hmm.
From Austria. The NSERC, the National Science Research Discovery Grant, and the Austrian giant telecommunication company called Mitax, MITACS, funded this study. The book is called Infectious Disease Modeling Research Project. Chapter 4 in the book is put together by the School of Mathematics and Statistics, Carleton University in Ottawa, Canada, and the Department of Mathematics and Statistics, the University of Ottawa, King Edward Avenue, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. The title of the report is, I kid you not, When Zombies Attack, Mathematical Modeling of an Outbreak of Zombie Infection. Now, when you talk about the digital, you know, it's funny that you should just lead into this, Don, because it's, you know, the whole digital research, the versus the analog signals, this is really done to facilitate these telecommunications giants. You see Verizon, you see American Telegraph and Telephone, AT&T. You see worldwide the research into this by Mitax, the huge Austrian or European-based telecommunications giant. In fact, if you look closely at the bidding of the FCC when they put the packages together for the digital transfer, there were, in fact, the public sector blocks were purchased by, I believe, largely by Verizon, Sprint, AT&T. These all were given these big blocks, but the most favorable, the most powerful digital signals were not even put out for public use. But I believe it was like 60% of the digital signal was transferred to DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, for heaven's sakes. Now, one has to ask, what does DHS need with these digital systems?
They want to know when Osama bin Laden is showing a movie. Probably.
I guess they must.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, they...
It is...
Go ahead.
It's so far beyond crazy. It's jaw-dropping in the extreme. Let me just share with you and the listeners the abstract of this model, okay? I think it's absolutely hard to fathom, but the abstract reads like this, quote, "Zombies are a popular figure in pop culture / entertainment, and they are usually portrayed as being brought about through an outbreak or epidemic." That first sentence is just huge. Quote, "Consequently, we model a zombie attack using biological assumptions based on popular zombie movies. We introduce the basic model for zombie infection, determine equilibria and their stability, and illustrate the outcome with numerical solutions." Now, these numerical equations and numerical solutions then can be again fed back into the master computer called the Beast, operating out of Belgium, which again is controlled by MITAC.
Mm-hmm.
MITAC's the telecommunication giant of Europe, but centered in Austria, for heaven's sakes. We're talking about the Nazi folks. These are the Nazi residue.
Well, this program seems to already have been kick-started, if you will, many years ago, in fact, and it's evident in Washington, D.C. I think the original zombies are now called politicians. You know, oh my goodness. Now, you know, a cancer is a $1.5 trillion a year business, if not more. So you know why they don't want any cures to come forth, even though they have imprisoned and murdered and basically blackballed any scientist or any physician or researcher who has developed a cure for cancer. They will not tolerate that. Why would they be so interested? What would be their purpose for warning us about this?
Well, I think it's, again, not so much warning. This is something that I think is leaked out. This is what Dr. Jordan has told me. She explains that this is just not, you have to dig pretty deeply to get this information. It's something that investigative journalists should be doing, but there's nothing happening there, with the exception of people like Dr. Jordan. Now, here's her take on it, that there could just be some, again, blackmailing financially going on. This is tied, these research labs and the people that have in fact developed these zombie viruses are tied to, again, the military-industrialist complex of AIPAC, American-Israeli Political Activity Committee, right? This is something that could very well be, you either give us our way financially, maybe even the Federal Reserve boys and organized crime, or, you know, we'll unleash some nasties on you. It's like, it's like Al Capone going into Chicago and having the combination to the mayor's daughter's hope chest type of thing. You either give me what I need and keep the police from investigating me, or you'll have, you know, an absolute lack of posterity.
Well, does
I think that's really what's going on here.
Yeah. Who do you think is actually then, you know, this sounds like blackmail or extortion then. So who's blackmailing whom?
Well, again, if you go back and I refer the listeners to the book called Dr. Mary's Monkey. It's the story of Dr. Mary Sherman's murder there in Louisiana. That, you know, the links there in Tulane University with this virus manufacturing facility, basically organized crime of the Jewish mafia, very much involved in this. So you see the links to Oswald Lee Harvey and other key figures in the Kennedy assassination are all intertwined with this, Don. We see figures tied to Alan Dulles and the CIA. This is all, again, tied to the secret treaty of Fort Hunt, the secret treaty with General Reinhard Gehlen, and the transferal of Nazi biological scientists, Austrian physicists, etc., just basically dovetailing them in to the OSS, which then became the CIA. And that is, what an incredible book this would make.
Now I'm going to refer to my research because you said something. You mentioned Alan Dulles, and this is going to substantiate what you said. In my second piece with the Idaho Observer, deathbed confessions, photos, support claims that George H. Scherf Jr. was the 41st U.S. president, where I reveal George H.W. Bush's identity, and I talk about the Federal Reserve and Circuit Chautauqua, which was where they were hiding many of the spies to be. They were training them. They were traveling around the country with this traveling circus, and they kept card files. And in one card file was the name John Foster Dulles. And on another, Randolph Churchill, who later became Lord Randolph Churchill, the father of Winston Churchill.
Wow.
This is documented, and was entered into a competition by Ameritech of all companies. This was some of the Wantagate money that the Bushes invested in the telecom business. They sponsored this, and the University of Iowa submitted that. So how did that university get all those records, you see? And when you look up Nazis, when you start following who all these infiltrators are into our government, you keep coming up with addresses in Iowa. There's no doubt about it that Iowa, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas were all not exclusive, but saturated with these infiltrators. And more than just Nazis, the Russian communists infiltrated the same way. And the ties were all to Austria-Hungary. So all of this research that's going on, all of this funding that's going on, interconnects all of these militaries, these multinational militaries that, you know, supposedly fight wars to eradicate oppression of a dictator or of a madman, when they're really all involved. Tell me what business someone like Randolph Churchill would have traveling around the country with a group of people. And this was socialism or socialization of large groups of people. But it basically gave them the opportunity to use that whole event as an excuse for keeping tabs on all the people that had emigrated to the United States to be used at a later time. sort of their sleeper agents, if you will. Go ahead. I just wanted to add that because...
Well, yeah, that's right on. It dovetails very well. And I just, before the show, I was watching on Netflix this documentary on World War II, and it was very well done, the History Channel series. It has the origins of Nazi Germany and their first big parades in the 1938, era. What was amazing in all of their big show of grandeur and pomp and circumstance in the streets of Berlin and the stadiums, always in the forefront with the banners of the swastikas and and the military troops. There was marching before the troops were the white robes of Catholic and Protestant priests. They led the way. Okay, now people need to realize that the German people supported Hitler and the Nazis because the organized religions were very, very much supportive of his renaissance, his spiritual reformations. We can't forget that. We know that the Vatican was very, very much involved in the funding of Adolf Hitler, the transfer of funds. We also, again, can link that to the city of London.
I was going to say that. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. The Church of England, the Vatican, the city of London. Here it shows in this documentary the blitzkrieg, the rapid, taking over of Norway, Belgium, France, Holland, in just rapid succession, Poland, of course, and then, of course, going to the east and the Serbs and into the front of Finland and Russia. But, Don, what's amazing is, again, showing the footage of all of these Luftwaffe bombing raids on England, and they were always targeting the civilian centers. You would think if Adolf Hitler were serious about crippling England, he would bomb the living crud out of the financial center, the city of London. But not one bomb fell in the financial district. Not one. Not one.
Yeah, that's by design. There were photographs of Hitler in London, too. That's not talked about very much. Sitting down having coffee with a young lady at an outdoor cafe.
How about Albert Speer and all of his missions into Churchill? If you go back again and look at the newspapers, I'll tell you there's a lot of popular authors in the periodicals of the 1930s. I'm reading all of the definitive works of Zane Grey, his papers, his personal correspondence. Zane Grey was a very vocal opponent of any European war, seeing the destruction and the death of friends of his, personal colleagues and others that went to fight in Europe in World War I. So there was a general pervasive sense throughout all of America that this was all by design of forces of the Vatican in Europe, and that they needed to make sure that America stays out of it. In 1940, the documentary shows that America had the 17th largest army in the world. It was had a smaller army than Romania, for heaven's sakes. There was something needed to galvanize America into this whole world order, this whole new order that Hitler talked about. That was the attack of Pearl Harbor. Now, I have a well-researched book, as you know, Don, that the U.S. intelligence gathering information, the spy network, knew full well through intercepted communications of the Japanese Pacific Fleet that the Pearl Harbor attack was known 3 weeks before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, it was well known by the top brass. It was just not relayed to the commanders.
And even the Hilo Herald had a front page coverage on December 6th that said Pearl Harbor may be attacked. So even the newspaper had that story right there in Hawaii.
Right.
And
so you see the mindset of these people, Don, is they don't care about sacrificing humans at all. That's part of their end goal. It's a demonic conquest, really. And this is what my guest today on my show, Judah, explained. He did a very good job in explaining the mindset of these Hindu temples, the Buddhist temples of that area, and also, of course, the mindset of this sect of Sabbateans. It's a demon cult. They're preoccupied with death and destruction, and literally whittling the Earth's human population down to 500 million to 1 billion souls. That is amazingly factual. You know, people that are on the mainstream average, they just can't imagine that insanity in the thought process. But these people in charge of the globe these days are very much trying to see it implicated.
Yeah, and that really requires even a more expansive examination of who's pulling the strings and what's really going on. This theme keeps coming back to the same topic. It doesn't matter if you're talking about general world slavery, the poisoning of our ecosystem, the destruction of our ecosystem, the outrageous amounts of money that are being made. You know, if you owned an oil company, and first of all, you know, you have to ask yourself the question, what gives these people the rights to say, you know, this is our oil. This doesn't belong to you. This belongs to us. Is it because they went and got it? Because the rest of us could do the same thing, couldn't we?
Well, yeah, it seems like this is an Earth's resource.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so their approach is that they own everything. They even own us. And yet they know that that's not true, because they have others coming from other parts of the galaxy telling them the same thing. You see?
Indeed.
That's the big secret they don't want out. That's what it boils down to. All this other stuff is just them flexing their satanic muscles and their rituals as if they're demonstrating to their handlers, their off-planet handlers, yeah, look at what we can do. You know, we're into black magic. We're into voodoo. You know, we can cause people to be sick just by thinking about making them sick. And we can devise all these nasty germs and viruses and diseases to kill people. And if that doesn't work, we make ammunition and we shoot them, or we irradiate them. Or we cause earthquakes, or we spray poisons in the sky and put it in their water and on their food. We have all kinds of ways to do it too. That's what they're telling their handlers. But they're not even coming close to telling the truth about how they've made some obviously dumb decisions and painted themselves into a corner to where if they have to, they themselves, and I'm speaking about the so-called elite, the self-appointed elite, that they'll flee the planet and go to Mars or the moon somewhere else. They're desperately looking for another place to go, because there's no turning back from their decision unless they admit to the people what they've done. That's the one thing they won't do. That's why they lie about everything. Because telling the truth eventually is going to reveal what we've been saying, what I've been saying despite all the people that want to attack me for having said it. I'll keep saying it. To my last breath, I'll keep saying it. And then after my last breath, I'll come back. You want to see a haunting? I'll come back.
Well, this is these 18 pages of graphs and charts and trigonometry. I mean, this is an amazing mathematical statistical assessment. But see, to come up with these conclusions, they have to have models already basically done by lab testing. They did not need to know the incubation times. They need to know the virility factors, and all this is all into this equation, Don. It's an amazing report, no doubt about it. Now, my colleague said, "Yeah, go check out a little known movie." You know, this report touches on it. This George Romero's 1968 cult classic film, The Night of the Living Dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a 2000, I think it was 2008 or 2009 when the movie was made. It's called Day of the Dead. So there's Night of the Living Dead and there's a Day of the Dead. So I thought, well, it's cheesy enough. I'll just check it out to see what it's about. I was flat out stunned watching that film.
Well, they developed a TV program for American Movie Classics. It's like a serial drama called The Walking Dead. This was just shown a month ago, but it went on for 2 or 3 months. Yeah, zombies.
Well, the Day of the Dead has it set in a suburb of Denver. Little town of Leadville in the mountains of Colorado, right? The little town is partitioned off. The U.S. military has said, this is a drill. We're doing a government drill, putting this town into quarantine. But see, the whole town is coming down with this like a flu-like virus. They're coughing. Eventually, they're coughing up blood. Eventually, they go into a catatonic state of blank stares, and then their flesh starts to decompose, and then their muscles become extremely powerful. They become crazed to eat human flesh. Now, this is exactly the reports, these studies of these viruses. They've tested them on individuals in China that are in the Chinese prison systems. They've measured their response. Their everything is in these reports that is right in this darn movie, Don. It's amazing that they come out with this to the T, and then enter the command center in the hospital. The doctor from the Centers for Disease Control is there to monitor everything and report back to the powers that be the Washington. And then the movie from there just degenerates into nothing but just the classic horror film genre. So I turned it off after that. The storyline is such that this is right out of this script, this report, again, done in 2008,
mm-hmm.
actually 2009, Nova Science Publishers, Inc. Now, here is the final discussion, page 17 of the report, and I quote, "An outbreak of zombies infecting humans is likely to be disastrous unless extremely aggressive tactics are employed against those infected."
What does that mean? More chemtrails?
No, I mean more quick. What this whole report is showing that people, the military needs to involve hunters, people that know how to use guns, to go out there and just whack the people that are out in the woods, you know, leaving the hospitals to go attack their fellow man that are infected with this virus. This is what's, this is again right out of the script of this movie called Day of the Dead. It's exactly what this movie's portraying. And if this wasn't a Canadian mathematics and statistics group doing a program for a computer, I'd laugh it all off. But this is right out of a grant and a research from a telecommunication giant, Mitax. Now, get this also in page 2 of the report. It talks all about the voodoo origins, right? And I quote, "The followers of voodoo believe that a person can be controlled by a master sorcerer. After being controlled, the zombies remain under the control of the sorcerer because they have no will of their own. Zombie, S-O-Z-O-M-B-I, zombie, is also another name for the voodoo snake god." The snake serpent god. And it goes on to explain that this zombie name also appears in several other cultures such as China, Japan, the Pacific, India, Persia, the Arabs, and the Americas. And in the Hindu pantheon of demons, Zombie is one of their reptile serpent gods that control the dead, the undead, to take away people's will. If you don't think this is serious, I mean, it's a good golly. It's an amazing.
You remember on last week's show, I played the Soul Cages, and I just pulled that out of thin air, and you came out with this story. Now, yes, we chuckled. I mean, it borders on crazy, but you know, a zombie is also known to be a soulless corpse. So where have the souls of these people gone prior to that? Yeah.
It's again, but do you look at the definition of zombie? Where they now? Again, this is page 2. Oh, where did I read this? The definitions again go back to a person that has lost control of his brain. It says the quote: "The main organs, such as the heart and lungs, and all the bodily functions operate at minimal levels during this state of what they call hibernation." This is done by the virus. It basically dissociates the brain from the internal organs. "What turns," and I quote, "what turns the human being into zombies is the lack of oxygen to the brain. As a result of this, they suffer from brain damage." Now, then if you've got microchips implanted in certain areas of the brain, or nanobot technology, they can then become literally remote controlled. That is also a very real part of this formula, Don. It's like they know what percentage of the population. I believe they've been tracked through the vaccination structures. They perhaps have some microplasmic structures that have, you know, they can track these now with the new nanotechnologies. They absolutely, you know, I reported on this many times during the pandemic outbreak, but there's new smart pills, for heaven's sakes, that you can take. They have nanobots in them that actually report back to a central computer. I kid you not, folks. For instance, if you've got high blood pressure, you can, the new genre of prescription drugs, these nanobots will be able to report back to a central computer if Mr. John Doe has skipped a dosage, and they'll notify the pharmacy or the doctor, and they'll call up and remind them to take the pill. This is what's happening now in the nanotechnology realm. But if these nanobots can communicate time and dosage to a central computer, The central computer can also relay messages to the brain neurons.
Well,
this is not science fiction.
It sounds like how the reptilians control the greys. It'd be as simple as that. They have soulless beings that function as biological or semi-biological organisms, and that smell like garlic, that rub nutrition on their skin. You know, I mean, you think it sounds crazy. Well, we have people putting cream on their skin, you know, changes things outwardly. But you're really talking about something. This has got to be an alien technology.
Well, it's not even so much that. Again, let me just read this one sentence in this report. Quote, what turns these human beings into zombies is a lack of oxygen to the brain. Now, when you destroy the lack of oxygen to the brain doesn't function, first of all. I can just, you know, this is part of my book, Wellness Secrets for Life. And the second book, which is titled Secret Assassins in Food, every single one of these chemicals from MSG to sodium fluoride, to carbonation, by end result is the oxygen level in the blood is diminished. Sodium fluoride works because it just disrupts the ability of the hemoglobin to carry oxygen. It becomes zombified. I mean, literally, you become less of an operating and thinking individual. So, I mean, this has been going on in America since the 50s, Don. The fluoridization of the water, the brainwashing of people to believe that sodium fluoride toothpaste will prevent tooth decay. Come on, that's total propaganda BS.
Mm-hmm.
No way. What it does when you brush your teeth with sodium fluoride, your blood will not carry as much oxygen to the brain. That's how fluoride kills cockroaches, folks. How it kills rats. Shuts down the hemoglobin carrying capacity of oxygen. And so, carcinogens, poisons, the very root carcinogen means disrupts the outflow of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it kills the cells. It kills the brain and organs.
Yeah. I was in a grocery store a couple of days ago, and I saw diet water. And I knew if I read the ingredients, I'd see aspartame on there. And, of course, there's aspartame. Now,
how can you have diet water when water has zero calories in the pure state to begin with? That's ridiculous.
That's the label on the bottle, diet water.
Oh, my goodness.
Diet water. Canada.
You have,
Canada.
You have to be Schweppes. Have to be brain dead to even think about it, putting that on the label.
But they do.
I mean,
and they're selling it in the store.
And there must be people buying it. Those are the ones that are really sucking on their sodium fluoride, obviously.
It made me want to ask why they didn't put, or at least ask the proprietor of the store, why they didn't put rat poison on there either. Or ant poison. You can kill ants with aspartame, too, if they're invading, let's say, or as a deterrent. They take it back to the nest, feed the young, and then it wipes out the colony. But people are drinking diet water. I couldn't believe it. I'll have to get a picture of it and send it to you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because no one will believe me until they see it. There are some people probably listening right now that drink diet water.
absolute insanity. The purest water you can drink, of course, is just removed of all contaminants. Just to hydrate, the hydration factors of distilled water is phenomenal. There is, of course, zero calories, zero anything in it. So how can you get fat? diet water, perhaps, to increase your heart rate by the toxic poisons involved in it, to increase your respiration and perhaps make you burn calories faster as you die.
Attack your nervous system, too.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, is there anything in that report that talks about the rest of the world? I mean, or is this just a plan for the United States?
It really doesn't specify whether it's the United States. It's just, it's a global thing, believe it or not. It's, again, looking at outbreak in different continents all simultaneously. But it does say that there will be a group of humans that will survive it. It says, quote, in the last paragraph, in summary, a zombie outbreak is likely to lead to the collapse of civilization unless it is dealt with quickly. While aggressive quarantine may contain the epidemic, or a cure may lead to coexistence of humans and zombies, the most effective way to contain the rise of the undead is to hit it hard and hit it often.
Now, that report, that and I haven't looked at the CDC website. I really don't have any interest in it, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. That report ended up on their website. Okay, someone determined that they had to put this out. Was that to create fear? Was that to get us to waste precious radio time in revealing the truth? Or were they ordered by who's controlling the Pentagon?
No. Hold on, Don. Yeah. Hold on now. The CDC didn't put this out. Okay, all the CDC put out is that report on the blog by their director, that tongue in cheek, that they would be able to prepare for warn against a zombie attack. What I'm talking about here is, again, a part of a book put out by the University of Ottawa, Canada, paid for by this international telecommunications giant. Totally separate.
See, now, I had heard that it was published on their site.
No.
Okay, so this was just leaked for the purpose of the book, then you're saying. Well, I
know the book.
Glad I didn't go to the site. I would have been wasting my time.
No, it's just the CDC's blog. It's just a report put out that the few of the – I would never even known about it, except it was reported on the mainstream news channels on the 22nd of May, a week ago, Sunday, yesterday. But it was done in a mocking fashion, like, oh, look at this. Ha ha, they spun it that the CDC was just trying to gain interest among the young people to see the importance of getting a 72-hour kit and to have people go onto the CDC's website and buy their 72-hour preparedness kit, because they're saying, well, it may not be a zombie attack, but it could be a hurricane or a tornado or an earthquake. See? What I'm talking about is a story behind the story, that this was not so much a tongue-in-cheek spin, but it's very much a part of their doomsday scenario, very much a part of it worldwide. And we bring the evidence to the bear, that these chimera viruses have been manufactured. They're waiting for deployment, just a matter of, I submit, when, not if. It's not the bird flu we have to fear. It's these chimera mutated doomsday viruses held by the military, yeah, held in reserve by people like DynCorp.
Well, if it was so important, so they're trying to play off the fact that this was leaked in the book, is what you're saying. Appearances on the mainstream media, tongue-in-cheek, as you described it. Is that a psychological test, really, to see how people will react to the news?
I don't know about that, Don. I'm just here to tell you that the report is real. that this study has been done. The people involved in this, Carleton University and the University of Ottawa, they have taken some flack over this. They've just posted and saying, well, this is just an exercise in the use of statistics. We all know that zombies and this whole thing is all a joke. But then the point is, why fund it? Why in the world would my tax be involved in giving this substantial grant to this main Department of Mathematics, the University of Ottawa? It doesn't make sense unless you look at the whole picture. And again, tying this into Dr. Mary's Monkey, the book, the whole story of what the Nazis were involved in post-World War II, and today, now, with the, of course, the Bush boys and the neocons. I don't know, Don, what else to say about it. It's not a psyops.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what it is. It's a report. You need to be aware that this is the scenario, I believe, that they're going to be using.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I find interesting, if I were to look up, or anyone in the listening audience were to look up the word Horus, the name Horus, H-O-R-U-S, or Isis, or Isis, some pronounce it, I-S-I-S, and look up the definition, you'll see reference to mythology. They'll explain the meaning as a mythological character. Yet the word zombie literally says, originally a snake deity of or deriving from West Africa and Haiti, a soulless corpse said to be revived by witchcraft, especially in certain African and Caribbean religions. Now notice they're not saying mythology, you see, or superstition or anything like that. They're coming right out and giving this definition. But you take the names of the things, the all-seeing eye that they use on television and on money and all kinds of Illuminati symbolism and corporate logos. When you see those things being used, it's all described as mythology if you look into the actual meaning. What people are looking at are, why do they use mythology? You see what I'm saying here?
Well, that's just, again, Don, it's their cult. It's not mythology to them. They know the Book of the Dead. They follow it. They know that it is possible to revive demonic entities. It's not mythology at all. It's realism. The whole dragon cult of the serpent race is very real. They want you to believe it's mythology. They want you to believe it's nothing but a bunch of hokey stories. You know, just like the report I gave on Bram Stoker and his book Dracula. That was really not meant to be a work of fiction. It was his way of telling the story of a true diary that he had reported, went to a series report on in mainstream London, the London Mail newspaper. He was stopped. He was blocked. So he published Dracula. It's the story of that cult of the Vlad Sepes bloodline, the dragon bloodline.
Mm-hmm. Now, hopefully you and the listening audience understand that I was just asking the question rhetorically to evoke the response I got. I knew what you would say, but I didn't want to put words in your mouth. So yeah, it's to them, it's very real, and it is ritualistic, and it's used for everything they do. Every major event they pull off, every false flag event, every war they start uses this symbolism, and they work it out with dates and times and use certain people, make sacrifices to attract more negative energy. It's really spiritual warfare, isn't it, when it comes down to it?
Ultimately, it is the keeping control of your free will. And again, it goes back to the Khmer Rouge and Pol Pot and the whole mantra of Pol Pot and those dictators are demanding complete and total obedience, the subjugation of the free will of mankind. That's what it's all about, ultimately. And my guest today, Judah Becker, was just so, I mean, he's been there on the ground with these people in Cambodia. He understands the mindset. The whole, you know, they want to eradicate people from the society who are educated. They want to eradicate people that have the ability to think deeply. There is no free will allowed in that society of the ultimate despot. Mm. And see, that's what this is all about. They, you know, you have a 500 million people, so called, but they have no individuality. They have no individual expression. They have no opinion. And so that becomes what's best described as an army of zombies, a population of zombies, those who have no mind or no will.
Yeah. When we got cut off at the top of the show, I had asked you the question after making a little bit of a statement about Cambodia and Laos during the Vietnam War, that it appears even to this day that most soldiers that were actually deployed in either of those two countries or both were instructed not to ever speak about it. Now, was it because of the mass murder that was going on? Was it because they were basically using Pol Pot as a subject to study under certain type of mind control or certain type of programming that had occurred to get him to carry this out? What would make someone want to just start murdering millions of other people? It makes no sense.
Well, the reports that, again, you don't know how accurate they are. It's individuals that I know personally that were there during the Vietnam era. The CIA was deeply involved in the arming and training of these guerrillas there in Cambodia. They were, again, tied into the munitions coming. They were armed with Chinese assault weapons. The Chinese Communist Party was very much involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's all... this is part of the world, but yet we're all tied together because you see the same mindset that led to these killings, 3+ million people in these killing fields. The same mindset says it could happen here in America just as easily.
Almost as if Vietnam was just a misdirection event so that they could pull this off behind the scenes.
Yeah, exactly. A lab experiment, basically, with a cover story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a shame when you think about how many tens of thousands of U.S. men and women were killed in Vietnam. For what? Really, yeah. For what? And I know people who were in Cambodia and Laos, so it's no big secret that they were there. And I know where George W. Bush was during his missing days of his alleged National Guard service. He was flying airplanes. Mm-hmm. And he was over there during that time. He'd been seen by many people who knew who he was. And he was running drugs.
Yep, the Poppy Bush clan.
Mm-hmm. So that's the truth. There are people that were in the military that know I'm telling the truth. And it's not a big secret, actually. I'm just another person spreading it. Well, Drew, we're just about out of time. Any closing remark you want to make before we call it a night?
Well, again, every day that goes by is more and more confirmation, revelation of this. We'll be doing a number of shows with Dr. Jordan and putting this whole piece together. And the whole idea behind this is not to scare people, but to inflame their senses to get a hold of their legislators. Give the information. This is ironclad research by Dr. Jordan. We need to stop, demand that we have these sick people that are doing these chimera, these mutated viruses, bring them to justice. We know who they are. We know this is in violation of every Geneva Convention and biological warfare society, not only in America, but against all of society humanity needs to stand up against this. This is absolutely terrible.
Where can someone read this document?
Well, you can go onto my website and follow the links, atruot.com. I posted about three different – I haven't done any much updating over the weekend, but if you go in, you can see a couple of videos I posted from colleagues that are just taking it just as seriously as I do now. Follow the links in the National Geographic stories. They've done a good job in putting this together very well, I must say. And then you can follow, just again, click on the highlighted portions. You can download the report from the University of Ottawa. It's all there on my website. So,
well, the word zombie is just a word, but it describes a certain type of person in a certain state. And from that perspective, there is a serious tone to it.
Well, again, just go back to the ZOMBI, zombie, that is, again, in this report. It's those who have given their heart and their mind to the voodoo snake god. Followers of zombies are those who follow the voodoo snake god, whoever that could be. Okay.
I want to make any guesses?
Well, good night to you, Don, and thanks for having me on the show tonight. Well, and
thanks a lot. Anyone that would like to listen to Dr. Rott's show, just tune in to the microeffect.com. Microeffect.com will take you there. His show airs Eastern time from noon to 2 o'clock, Central 11 to 1, Mountain 10 to 12, Pacific 9 to 11, Monday through Friday. And you'll be talking about this, and I will read up on this and see what's there.
Okay. Do so, Don, and we'll be in touch, and God bless you.
All right, you too. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio and our guest, Dr. A. Truat. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints over at BBS Radio tonight. We had Don Newsom on the sound. Also, Don was on the Internet Revival equipment, or should I say the Internet Respirator. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.